Blog Talk Radio.
Alright, it's set time.
Sequencing.
We would like to welcome you. This has only just begun.
He has the ability. He has the technology. He has the desire. Aaron McCready. He's ready to rip it up.
This is amazing stuff.
Are you ready for him?
Do it. Do it.
Make some noise! Aaron McCready. Let's go.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Aaron McCready, and you're listening to The Aaron McCready Show. And are you ready for me? This show isn't for people for the faint of heart, because I say things exactly how they are. I don't care who's listening. I don't care if you're a member of Congress. I don't care if you're the President of the United States. I don't care who you are. The truth is the truth. And that's what we talk about here on this show. Give us a call here, 646-200-3400, if you want to join us live at 646-200-3400. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I only have 16,000 Twitter followers, so let's see if we can boost that up a little bit, at Aaron McCready. And then also, if you want to see some news and some what's going on in the world, go to my website, www.aaronmccready.com. And can you tell there's a theme here, Aaron McCready? But you know, before we get into things, I've got a and then we got Jack Caravelli coming on a little bit later. But, you know, one thing that I just want to take just a couple minutes and talk about, and, you know, putting all politics aside, this isn't, you know, to exploit anything. Some people will say that, but this isn't to exploit anything. I just want to send my condolences out to everyone in Oklahoma that was affected by the tornadoes. What a horrible situation people are going through right now. And, you know, this show is heard coast to coast and around the world on blogtalkradio.com, and it has millions of listeners every day. And for those of you listening in Oklahoma, I just want you to know that my thoughts and prayers are with you, that you're not alone. The American people's thoughts and prayers are with you. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democratic thing. It's an American thing. And, you know, we can, you know, fight and debate all we want to as Republicans or Democrat, but we're really all part of the American family. It's just like if you're, you know, in your own family, think about it. You have brothers and sisters, and, you know, sometimes you fight like cats and dogs with each other. But in the end, if somebody picks on one of them or something happens to one of them, you're right there with them. And it's the same type of thing. You know, the people in near Oklahoma City, and more specifically Moore, Oklahoma, they've been hit and been whacked. And it doesn't matter, again, what political party you're from, what race you're from, you know, if you're male, female, you know, you're suffering, and everybody comes together as Americans. And I think that is what really defines America, is that we all really do come together. We are the United States of America. We put all our differences aside, and we really help out one another. And that's what it's all about, helping out one another. So I just wanted to you know, stop for a few minutes and just say that, you know, please donate. Go to the, you know, donate to the Red Cross, donate to the Salvation Army, you know, whatever you can do, even if it's just a little bit. There was a, I believe it's on either CNN or Fox News, organization even brought just coloring books and crayons just for the kids, so they would have something to do in the shelters and you know, kind of take their minds off things. So, you know, any little thing that you can do to help out the folks of Oklahoma, I'm sure that they would be more than grateful. Another news anchor said that it was like, if you can imagine a 2 mile long lawnmower blade just whacking across everything, just cutting everything down. That's exactly what it's like when you go there and see it. And, you know, one thing that I think that we all take for granted as Americans is that anything can happen to us at any time. Those moms and dads would not have sent their children to school that day had they had thought the school was going to come crashing down on them. Or that some of their children wouldn't come home that day. You never know when something's going to happen to you. It's easy for us, you know, to take these things for granted. But it doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, something can happen. You know, people are at their homes, and if they look around your walls, and if you're listening in your home right now, look around your walls. If you're listening in your car right now, you know, driving down the road, look at your car. You would never imagine that those walls would come tumbling down or that your car would end up on top of a building. But that's what happened to the people in Oklahoma. Just don't take things for granted. And that's why we need to come together as Americans to help out one another on these type of things. So, with that being said, I just want to get into a few things that really bother me. You know, as you've seen in the news lately, it's been all over. You know, the Obama administration, and, you know, the Obama administration, Barack Obama's at the top. He's the leader of the free world, right? He is the head honcho. He's the CEO of America, the chief executive officer. That's exactly what he is. Whatever president is in office, that's what they are, the chief executive officer. And if you run an organization and there's a group in your organization that is misbehaving, who's responsible for it? Who does the public blame? They blame the CEO. Well, we've got the IRS. They've run amok. We've got the State Department. You know, it is absolutely crazy what's going on right now. And I'm going to tell you, this could have legs for a possible impeachment of the president. I mean, this administration has just went absolutely crazy. And I don't know if they thought that, and some of these things predate the second term, but I don't know if, you know, they thought, hey, you know, they got cocky and they thought that they could just, you know, do all this and nobody would care, or the Democrats themselves would turn their head. 646-200-3400 if you want to call the show. Also, one thing I forgot to mention, go online to our website, blogtalkradio.com/Aaron McCready. You can join online chat. We've got a chat going on there right now. But if they got too cocky and just thought they could get away with these, that the Democrats wouldn't hold them accountable. But, you know, the IRS, and they admitted to this last week, I believe was when they first admitted to it, that they were targeting conservative groups to see if check on their tax-exempt status. And they were giving them a rough time. They were looking at groups, of course, that said that had the Patriot in their names or Tea Party in their names. They were singling those groups out. But, you know, they weren't singling out the ones that had progressive or liberal. You know, then you have this lady, and I'm going to use that phrase very loosely, lady, from the IRS. Her name's Lois Lerner. She testified – well, I'm sorry. She didn't testify today. She took the fifth in front of a committee on Capitol Hill. And I'm going to play a little bit of what she said. And, you know, this is the person that was in charge of the tax-exempt status. And, you know, it's came out and they've admitted to it, and she's taken the fifth. And that looks bad on the Obama administration. That could be the worst thing that she did. Yeah, it's her right. You know, you don't want to take away people's rights. That was definitely her prerogative to do so. But just listen to what she said. Here you go.
In addition, members of this committee have accused me of providing false information when I responded to questions about the IRS processing of applications for tax exemption. I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken any laws, I have not violated any IRS rules or regulations, and I have not provided false information to this or any other congressional committee. And while I would very much like to answer the committee's questions today, I've been advised by my counsel to assert my constitutional right not to testify or answer questions related to the subject matter of this hearing. After very careful consideration, I've decided to follow my counsel's advice and not testify or answer any of the questions today. Because I'm asserting my right not to testify, I know that some people will assume that I've done something wrong. I have not. One of the basic functions of the Fifth Amendment is to protect innocent individuals, and that is the protection I'm invoking today. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Can you believe that? The government of the United States, and particularly the IRS, admitted to singling out conservative groups. And this lady says that she didn't do anything wrong. She was in charge of the department within the IRS that singled people out. And she says she didn't do anything wrong. Well, you know, if I was her, I would have took the fifth also. Because I have the feeling that the United States government is also going to supply her with something, and it's going to be a white outfit with black stripes. That's where she needs to go. You know, and you think about it, the IRS, they can come and they can tax you and they can seize your money. It's very scary. They have such great power, and then to know that this group, that this organization is going and singling out groups. Well, like I said earlier, Barack Obama thought, hey, you know, I'm sure the Democrats are going to get my back on this one. You know, I'll be able to skate through things like always. No big deal. Well, guess what? The Democrats are even pushing back. They can't believe it. And, you know, good for them. Because they see that this is a very slippery slope. If you do this with Republicans, what's to say in the future, in the next administration or the next or whatever, that the Republican president wouldn't do it to Democrats? There's got to be some sort of law and order. We are the United States of America. People come from all around this country to live here because we don't do things like this. People believe that we don't do things like this. This is a prime example of a socialist, communist-type state that thinks that they can single out people for not believing what they believe. You know, I mean, look at Saddam Hussein. He killed people that didn't believe what he believed, that stood up to him. Adolf Hitler did the same thing. It's absolutely crazy. And, yeah, you know, right now, and I don't, you know, you're going to think, oh, Aaron's this conspiracy theorist. No. I am just afraid that this country is going to go down the tubes because we're allowing things a little bit at a time. 646-200-3400. Call me and tell me where I'm wrong. You know, first we're going to allow the government to single out individuals and just for what they believe. And then what's going to be next? What's going to happen next? The police come to your house and arrest you? And speaking of the IRS, the Department of Justice is going after Fox News. They're going after James Rosen. If you don't know, James Rosen is the chief White House correspondent for the Fox News Channel. And they started investigating him. They've got warrants for his phone records. And not only his phone records, but his parents also. His parents live in New York. Staten Island, I believe. And they went and got a subpoena for that phone records. They also got subpoenas for the desk at the White House and the Pentagon, everything for Fox News, because they were trying to find a source. And tell me, in the history of our nation, and many reporters think the same thing. I've got articles right here from the New York Times, the Washington Post, Of course, the Fox News Channel, CNN even, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC. You know, where is it going to end? Where can you tell me in the history of the United States that we have prosecuted a reporter for going after a source? It's absolutely ridiculous. That's what they're supposed to do. If you're going to go after somebody, go after the source. They're the ones that's leaking the information. Reporters are doing what they're supposed to do. And this is the Barack Obama administration, once again, singling out groups for what he thinks. He's singling them out for what they believe. He thinks it's not right. He thinks he is sent down from above, and everything that he says is 100% correct. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. And so he's singling out people with the IRS, using the IRS, using the Justice Department, going after people that don't think what he thinks, that don't share the same political beliefs. He's going after a reporter for their sources and trying to find it. And tell me if that doesn't reek of socialism or communism or, you know, we have the best country in the world. And again, it's going down the tubes because of this president, his policies. And, you know, I think back, I actually did a show on this before, Gibson Guitar. There's a Gibson Guitar raid. The Obama administration raided Gibson Guitar because they, I think it was teak wood. I may be mistaken, but I think they imported teak wood. So guess what? They sent in the immigration department to go in and make sure they shut down the whole plant and make sure that they didn't have any illegals in there. And guess what? The CEO of Gibson Guitar is a Republican. You don't see a trend here with this president? You know, I could play right here montage after montage after montage of how Barack Obama is going to have a transparent presidency. How, you know, he said before that how he's going to have bills, give you 5 days. When he was running for president, he said he's going to give us 5 days to be able to read the bill before he signs it, before it passes. He said that meetings are going to be on C-SPAN and that it's going to be the most transparent government in the history of the United States. Transparent, huh? Transparent for who? 646-200-3400. Yeah. It's ridiculous. You know, he holds backdoor meetings and tries to push things through. Look at Obamacare. Obamacare is 20,000 pages. Tell me who could read that in the time amount that they took to pass it. We still don't know all the regulations. You know, it could be just incompetence too. I mean, this president, you know, he wasn't aware of Benghazi. He wasn't aware of the IRS. You know, there's a talk show host here in Atlanta. His home station is here in Atlanta, Eric Erickson. And he tweeted out, "I wonder if Barack Obama has heard of the tornado in Oklahoma City." Because that's how out there the president is. And so it makes you wonder, too, maybe, just maybe, Lois Lerner is so incompetent that she didn't know what was going on either. But you know what? There's a report out that says back in 2010, I believe, or 2011, nonetheless, at least 2 years ago, that Lois Lerner learned of all this, what was going on. And people say, oh, this is just a few people in Cincinnati. That's what they're saying. A low-level employees in Cincinnati did this. You got to be kidding me. Really? Low-level employees? But you know what? This is what makes me think that Lois Lerner doesn't know what in the world she's doing. This is a conference call that I'm getting ready to play you for reporters that were interviewing Lois Lerner. Now, remember, she is a head of a department in the IRS. The IRS handles money. You need to know math to work for the IRS. But this is an NBC reporter questioning Lois Lerner on this conference call. Take a listen here.
And just to confirm one point, it's Tom Costello with NBC News. You're saying a quarter of the 300 were associated with Tea Party or Republican issues, correct?
No, I said that about a quarter of the cases that were selected for full development had either Tea Party or Patriot in their name.
Okay. So just, sorry, thank you for the clarification, but that would be a quarter of the 300 then. So we're talking 75 or so?
That's correct. Is that a quarter?
That's correct.
Thank you. I'm not good at math.
That's correct.
You're with the IRS. Thank you.
But I'm a lawyer. I'm not an accountant. Sorry.
Okay.
Is there any other?
She's not good at math, but she works for the IRS. And she's a lawyer, not an accountant. Well, my gosh. Well, my goodness. You know, and to link this back to James Rosen is a reporter. He reports. He looks for sources, Barack Obama. That's what you do as a reporter. You go after sources and you get information. If you're going to go after anybody, you don't subpoena records from a reporter. Whether it's from the Fox News Channel, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, wherever. You don't do it. We're going after reporters. We're going after conservative groups. We're going after companies that have CEOs that are Republicans. Where does it end? When's it going to end? You know, it also makes me wonder, you know, that the government, back when there was a crisis in the economy, and to a great extent there still is, but when the government took over General Motors, and General Motors was closing plants, and they were closing some dealerships, it makes you wonder, and I need to actually go look at this. If General Motors, if they closed the dealerships and plants that were ran by Republicans or conservatives or libertarians. I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking the question. It makes sense based on the history and the trend. You know, and people, you know, people compare Nixon and Obama. And someone, and forgive me, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I was listening, and someone said, you don't need to compare Nixon and Obama. You need to compare Obama and Vladimir Putin over in Russia. They're the ones that you need to compare, Vladimir Putin and Obama. Nixon just threatened to go after people. Obama's actually doing it. Where is it going to stop? You know, I'm going to play something too in regards to the IRS real quick. This comes from Newt Gingrich talking about the IRS and how it relates to Obamacare.
Now, every American understands there are elements of the IRS that go off on their own, do what they want to. The effort now, of course, is to say, oh, it was all low-level employees, yet those low-level employees apparently saw public reports that they weren't doing what they were doing, and nobody informed anyone in the IRS, let alone the Treasury. I think the president has to say he's going to open it up totally. He's going to demand everybody meet with Congress, go to the hearings. He's going to fire everybody he can legally fire who's been involved in this. And they've got to look at changes. How can you put Obamacare under an Internal Revenue Service? Remember, this is an administration which will not profile terrorists, but profile patriots, profile constitutional groups. I mean, this is almost maddening.
Almost maddening. Almost maddening is what Newt Gingrich was saying. And that huffing and puffing, that wasn't me on the microphone doing the Al Gore huffing and puffing. That was actually somebody there that was being interviewed with Gingrich, or one of the reporters, and I believe that came from CNN, I think. or NBC. But that was one of the reporters doing that. They were getting so frustrated. But it's true. You're going to put an organization that goes after conservatives in charge of Obamacare? So, you know, I said it's a slippery slope. What's to say that the organization that's going after conservatives and that's now going to be in charge of running healthcare for the United States, what's to say you're a conservative, you're a Republican, you're an outspoken Republican that will say anything like me, and you go, God forbid, and have a heart attack, and what's to say, oh, death panel says you've got to die. You're conservative. Oh, well, they won't say that because you're a conservative. You think I'm crazy? Think I'm a conspiracy theorist? I mean, I'm just saying what's the possibility. We're going down this slope. We've got to stop it somehow. I mean, please. Really. Do you see the relation here that I'm talking about? What country are we living in? Are we living in the country that comes together and helps the people of Oklahoma, helps the people of Sandy Hook Elementary when they had the shooting, that all come together and help each other out? Or are we talking about a country that you'd expect something that, like this to happen in World War II? Or a country that wasn't as sophisticated as us? We're the United States of America. This can't be happening here. But you know what? Yet it is. Just turn on the news. CNN, Fox News, all the news channels are up in arms about the IRS, and then also up in arms about going after reporters. And you know what? The Obama administration, I think, has made a fatal mistake for their administration. When the media is now against you, when they put you in office, it's going to be trouble for you. They can sway the American opinion. They can sway it. The Americans, and we're going to talk about this with Jack Caravelli coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. We're single-minded as a nation. We know whatever's on TV, that's what we're after at the time. We're going to talk about North Korea. North Korea's not even in the news right now. But it's one of our most dangerous threats outside of Obama. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. So where does it stop? You know, we need to call our congressman, call your representative in the House of Representatives, call your senator. Heck, even call your state senators, state reps, call your governor. Make a difference. This country's too great than just to let it go to waste. We're starting to see the outrage, but really, I mean, we're too good as a country. Too good than to let us go down where we're going. Do you really want this to be the country that you know, your children, your grandchildren are going to be afraid to do anything because their big brother might be watching you? Really? Do you want to live in that type of country? Where you're afraid to even say anything, where you have to meet in homes secretly to worship or to meet because you're afraid the government might not like what you're doing. That exists in this world. And if we don't watch it, it's going to exist right here in this country too. Can't you see the signs? I've just pointed them out. The Internal Revenue Service, who can pretty much destroy you by taxation if they wanted to, going after conservative groups. The Justice Department going after conservative reporters, going after businesses that have CEOs that are Republicans. It's scary stuff. And, you know, we're going to talk about really scary stuff here in about 5 minutes after this news break. Really scary stuff. We have Jack Caravelli come on. Jack worked under presidents Clinton and Bush and dealt with nuclear proliferation. That's some scary stuff. We're going to be talking about that here in just a minute. But give us a call, 646-200-3400. You can go live on the air and also ask Jack Chiarvelli questions here in just a few minutes. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Oh, hang on.
With all due respect.
I am so sorry. I hit the wrong button. We'll be back right after this news break.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. An admission from the government that Americans like Al-Qaeda operative Anwar al-Awlaki were killed in anti-terror operations. But it stopped short of using one particular word.
In his letter to Congress, Attorney General Eric Holder did not actually use the word drone, but instead he used the phrase sensitive counterterrorism operations to describe how these four Americans were killed. It's the first time the administration has admitted that it was responsible for killing these Americans.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin in Washington. A sentence has been hard to come by in the Jody Arias murder case. More live from Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
Ron, when the jury told the judge today that they just can't decide if Arias should live or die, the judge told them to keep working and keep deliberating.
I do not wish nor intend to force a verdict. Each juror has a duty to consult with one another, to deliberate with a view to reaching an agreement if it can be done without violence to individual judgment.
If this jury cannot reach a verdict, a new jury will be impaneled to decide, and if they can't, the death penalty is taken off the table, and the judge decides a prison term. The jury is done for today, Ron, and will resume deliberations tomorrow.
And Jessica, the Obama administration is against speeding up the process to build the Keystone XL oil pipeline, but not House Republicans.
The ayes are 241, the nays are 175.
And they led passage of a call to cut through the red tape and start building. Democrats say it's important to make sure environmental studies are done first before the conduit is built between Canada and the Gulf of Mexico. Internal Revenue Service Supervisor Lois Lerner refused to answer questions from a House committee, saying she didn't want to incriminate herself, even though she also said she did nothing illegal. When IRS agents leaned harder on conservative groups, Lerner runs the Tax Exemptions Division, where the uneven attention came to light. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Early Prime, breaking down business news and its impact on your bottom line. Your World with Neil Cavuto.
That's how I do business. That's why I am this.
Bold positions and brash opinions on the topics America is buzzing about. The Five.
How do you think this will set in with the American people?
This will be the pulse of the nation.
Washington insight and political know-how from the best in the Beltway. Special report with Brett Baer.
The epicenter of the political world is here.
The number one place for fair and balanced coverage. Fox News Channel.
What's wrong with working hard
to make our lives and our kids' lives better?
Nothing. At Fox Business, we don't have a problem with success. We have a very big problem with those who get in the way of it.
We don't come out of the box bashing those who make money.
Just the politicians stealing it and the bureaucracy wasting it.
We're not just sitting behind a desk. We're out in the field, on the floor, with the folks.
Because when a story moves forward, so do we.
Fox Business, the power to prosper. Check your local listings.
The last six people who were missing after Monday's tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, are now accounted for. Five living, one, it turns out, was among the 24 already listed dead. President Obama will visit Moore on Sunday. No doubt he'll hear stories of survival.
That is a tornado forming.
This is what Micah Moody saw coming toward her and her three children Monday afternoon.
Get out in the street!
20 minutes later.
It's gone! It's all gone!
Still, she dropped everything, ran across the street, and helped pull children out of the devastated Plaza Towers Elementary School. There was no shelter, no safe room. All new schools require one. And Moore Mayor Glenn Lewis will insist every new home in his town have one as well.
We'll get consensus from the builders. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Across this ruined city, people are picking up what's left of their lives.
Fox's John Roberts in Moore, Oklahoma. The FBI says that agents have arrested a 37-year-old man after a pair of letters containing the deadly poison ricin were discovered in the state of Washington last week. Matthew Bouquet expected to make an initial court appearance in Spokane. Problems on a cruise ship this past winter have led to a new manifesto for passengers.
A group representing more than two dozen major cruise lines says many of the rights have been long-standing practices, but now they're in writing, adopted by the board of directors of the Cruise Lines International Association. This in the wake of the Carnival Triumph's embarrassing ordeal, adrift at sea with no power for days after an engine fire. The new passenger bill of rights guarantees the safety, comfort, and care of guests, a full refund when mechanical failure cancels a trip, and a backup power source on every ship. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
General Motors is recalling 27,000 Cadillac SUVs. SRX is from the model year 2013. The problem? The wheels can fall off. Apparently something with the lug nuts. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
A colorless landscape. The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One voter at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. It is great to have you with us. And got a great guest coming up here in just a second, a great friend of the show, Jack Caravelli. You all know him. But, you know, as I said earlier, you know, we're talking about some scary stuff with the Obama administration going from singling out people and groups with the IRS to looking up people in the media. I mean, where does it end? But you know what? If you think that's scary, you've really got some waking up to do. We're going to be talking about North Korea. And my next guest, of course, Jack Caravelli, is very knowledgeable about these things. He has experience in the CIA. He's been in the White House. He's been and directed a non-proliferation policy for the United States. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Well, Aaron, thank you very much, and it's, as always, a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on with us. And real quick, before we get into North Korea, and I really want to talk to you about that, because I think that with everything that's going on right now in the United States and here at home, that North Korea in the media has almost been pushed to the back burner. But, you know, I did want to touch base just really quick on Benghazi. That what a tragedy that was, and I know that you knew Ambassador Stevens. And
yes,
are we ever going to really get to know exactly what happened and even where the president was? Because I don't even think that we even know where Obama was during that time. I don't even think that's documented.
Aaron, you're correct, both in terms of your deep concerns about Benghazi, and you described it perfectly. It was a tragedy, but also the great concerns I've had about Benghazi are really twofold. One, you've identified in terms of where was the president, what was he doing. The same thing certainly applies to Hillary Clinton. She was, as you know, serving as Secretary of State. And related to that, number two is simply, why, there's a lot of debate, of course, over what could have been done or should have been done. But I guess my view, having served, as you said, in the White House for 4 years under Bill Clinton as a senior career officer, is simply that, if I was the president of the United States and my ambassador, no matter where he is in the world, is under attack, I would try to move heaven and earth to rescue him or support him, whatever the circumstances. And it's important, number one, because very simply, it's the right thing to do. But number two, if you do that, you send a signal both to, your other Foreign Service officers that you value them, rather than making it look like you don't give a damn about them. And number two, you also send a message, I think, to friends and foes who watch the way we react. I think watching this administration, it's almost like they're indifferent to the way they're perceived around the world, both with friends and foes, and that is also deeply, deeply troubling. So, there is a lot that we still don't know exactly, as you said. I don't know if we'll ever fully find out, but I think this administration has a lot to account to the families of these people and certainly the American public.
Well, I want to play one clip, and I know you've probably heard this, and I know our audience, they probably heard it too, but I want to play one clip, and it's only 15 seconds long, that drives me absolutely up the wall. And after we play it, I'll tell you what drives me up the wall, and I want to get your thoughts on it too. But here it is in regards to Benghazi. It's former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton testifying in front of Congress.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
You know, Jack, I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, it makes a difference to me because I look at myself. And if I'm in another country and there's a group that just wants to kill an American and they come after me and kill me, that's a big difference than a terrorist organization going after a branch or a division or however you want to call it of the United States, where the top diplomat is of the United States in that country and going and attacking that. That is a national security issue. That's the difference it makes.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you know, it's nice dramatic political theater for Mrs. Clinton to do that, and I know millions of Americans have heard or seen the clip, and I'm glad you played it, but look, the reality is that, you know, that State Department that she was running, you know, months in advance, certainly should have known that they had a very significant security problem. It is documented, number one, that there have been other attacks against other diplomats in the area, that also, number two, both Ambassador Stevens and the department's security officer have been cabling back months before the tragic attack saying the security situation here is bad. And I will tell you, again, having served in various parts of government, when a U.S. ambassador, you know, sends something like that back to the headquarters of the State Department here in Washington, you know, the presumption is that there should be somebody who's not asleep at the switch who reads that cable, takes it seriously, and says, if the ambassador is not credible in describing the situation in the country, which he is the leader for our government, the representative, of course, you know, then who is? But, you know, her State Department, Hillary Clinton's State Department, dropped the ball in responding to the pleas from the security leader at the embassy and the ambassador, who both had said, we've got a problem here months before the attack. And, you know, I have said before, and I will say it again, in my view, Aaron, you know, she has blood on her hands for that reason alone.
I know she wants to run. Well, she won't admit to it, but she'll probably try to run for president for the next election. And I really think this is going to come back to haunt her. I don't think, unless the American people just have total amnesia, and I hope they don't in regards to this, I think it's just a lost cause for her.
Well, you know, I think the first part, you're probably right, that I think the likelihood, again, who knows what's going to happen in a few years, but, you know, the likelihood is that she probably will run, assuming she, you know, stays in good health, et cetera. But I think quite honestly, and I would say this to your colleagues as well, that it is the media and shows like yours that, you know, that hold, you know, the light of day to these kinds of incidents. And that is incredibly important, and that's why that, for many reasons, I hope Americans are outraged, as you mentioned earlier, about the different threats that this administration is taking toward the media. Whether liberals or conservatives, the free media is the oxygen that makes democracy work. And, you know, shows like yours, Aaron, whether it's conservative or liberal, you know, people need to hear these situations and be reminded of them. It's a great venue to communicate. And, you know, no matter what happens on Benghazi in the weeks and months to come, you know, I know that you will, particularly if she runs, you will come back to this at the right time. And, you know, let's remind people of, you know, the attitude she had about what difference does it make. Well, as you said, to all of us, it should make a great deal of difference.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, speaking of situations, we've got a big situation with North Korea. And it you know, I think one thing that I'm scared of, and I mentioned it right before the news break, is that Americans as a whole, they see things in the media, and that's all we focus on. We're almost single-minded. But we have a big threat with North Korea, and what – just tell our listeners exactly, because you know so much about, you know, nuclear weapons, and I don't even know how you even sleep at night with what you know, but what threats does North Korea exactly pose to us? Because I know that they've got Kim Jong-un, and I feel like he's a crazy man over there.
Well, Aaron, you've raised some really important questions. Let me break down the word threat into two parts. The first is a military side. In terms of capability, you know, North Korea is a nuclear weapon state. They have that capability. They certainly have a small arsenal of nuclear weapons. They also have the means to deliver them through missiles. And, you know, they've made some just appalling and incredibly brazen threats toward the United States, which President Obama seems to have just swallowed and accepted. You know, staying cool and thoughtful is one thing, but, you know, looking at a nation like North Korea and accepting their threats to me is appalling. I think a very short statement would have been that, you know, if North Korea tried to do anything, you know, it would cease to exist as a nation. But beyond that, so there is a military dimension to the word threat, but I think you've also hit on the other part, which is there's a political dimension to this threat as well, and it's what you described. The current leader is he's under 30 years old. He's young. He's immature. He's untested. And he sits on a nuclear arsenal, and he also exists in a system where the North Korean military is very, very powerful. And I think on any given day, it's hard to be really sure if the North Korean military or this young, untested political leader are calling the shots. And I think one of the real worries about all of this long term is simply that dynamic that, you know, who's really in charge, and the unpredictability of this is very troubling, you know, I think not just to us, obviously to the, certainly to the South Koreans, to Japan, you know, another important friend in the area, China, although we're adversaries often with China, I don't think China wants to see any kind of war break out on the peninsula, again, because the uncertainty of the outcome and where this all leads, China doesn't want any parts of it either. So I think the best outcome would be China, which has some real leverage on the North Koreans, to very quietly say, look, this is a very dangerous situation. You don't want to start a war that you can't finish on the peninsula. And if you continue this provocative posture, you know, you're going to lose the one friend you have in the region, which is us. But your point's a good one. There is a political threat, there is a military threat, and, you know, with this young leader, the uncertainty of an untested young man with a little, maybe too much power, is a very bad combination. And, you know, we've watched this movie before with past North Korean leaders where, you know, they would threaten and maybe undertake some provocative actions, mostly in the hope of trying to get negotiations and, you know, getting assistance from the West, fuel oil or food. Obama hasn't fallen for that yet, and he deserves credit for that. So I hope that, you know, the North Koreans will find some sense of moderation, and also that this administration will, you know, maintain a firm posture, and as I said, also tell the North Koreans that, you know, they need to get their hands around to tell the Chinese that they need to get their hands around the North Koreans politically and say, look, this is a dangerous game. You can't win this. You know, we all on the rest in the peninsula and in the region are all of one mind. So let's not you know, stumble into a war.
How far, what's the range of their missiles? If they put a nuclear warhead on one of those, how far would it reach?
Well, there's certainly a regional threat. You know, there's no problem. Even their long-range artillery could target Seoul and in other parts of South Korea. So, they have a missile capability, Aaron, that certainly encompasses the region. Now, what the big debate has been among the experts in Washington and elsewhere has been, do they have a longer-range threat? It's quite clear that the North Koreans are pretty good at missile building, and actually they have helped the Iranians in the past in Iran's development of a missile program. So the unanswered question is, how far along are the North Koreans to being able to launch a long-range missile that, again, potentially, if you think of the geography and a globe, firing it over, the northern expanses to try to, perhaps target cities on the West Coast or, something like that. They're working toward that, and we just need to watch it carefully and, see where it goes. But it is quite clear that they are certainly committing resources. You and I have talked before that nations vote with resources. North Korea is desperately poor. Its people are starving, but the government is finding, again, the resources, financial, to support its nuclear program, its missile program, its military. And I think that tells us a great deal about what's important to the North Koreans, and we need to be extremely vigilant, watching where that long-range program sort of develops, how quickly it develops. And, I very much appreciate your initiative in, bringing this issue back to the fore, because it is not hypothetical. It's a real threat. And, again, the unpredictability of this young and mature leader really does concern me a great deal.
I know he has stated before, well, not so much stated, but his actions indicate that he does not want any diplomacy, does not want any talks, and that if he thinks that he's being threatened, he's not afraid to use weapons. At what point will the United States, or would it be out of bounds to park a battle group off the coast of North Korea and sit it there? And I mean, I don't even know if we have this capability or not, have ships that have, missile interceptors there. Just to prove, we're the United States and we're not going to take these threats lightly, especially from a country like North Korea.
It's a great question. I think during the recent dust-up, we had done some overflights in South Korea of stealth bombers and the like, and shown some air power. But as you said, there was certainly the naval capabilities, which, we are the best. We have by far the strongest navy in the world, and certainly a number of our ships, do have the capability to shoot down missiles. Again, it's an option that the president certainly would have. You want to be, we're always careful with, where and how we deploy those assets, simply because they, in their own way, can become targets as well. But certainly, leaving that aside, there is no doubt that the air and naval power of a carrier battle group, and if for your audience, it's an aircraft carrier that never sails alone. It has ships around it, both as protection with their own capabilities, as well as submarines, and that is a very powerful fleet. It is also a very tangible show of force and show of political commitment from the United States. I don't think we've done a great deal of that in Asia. The Chinese have their own thoughts of large American naval forces in those waters as well. But it's something we've certainly done, again, as you know, Aaron, in the Persian Gulf and around Iran and certainly not far from the Strait of Hormuz. So we are well-practiced through decades of using the U.S. Navy as a show of political resolve, and it's something that, again, hopefully the North Koreans will learn to grow up a little bit. But if they don't, then I think that the option you mentioned is certainly something that should be on the table.
With China being so close, is there anything going on behind the scenes with us and China? Because, you know, we purchase so many goods that China has, and I half joke, I'm serious almost when I say it, that China owns half the United States. Is there a vested interest in China making sure that North Korea doesn't do anything stupid to the United States, and can we leverage that with China to quieten North Korea down?
Well, again, another great question, Aaron. I think you have to assume that the United States is having an ongoing dialogue with the Chinese on this very issue, making the point you made that it is certainly not in China's interest to see the, you know, the Korean Peninsula become the site of another war. It would almost certainly drag the United States in, which China doesn't want. It would create probably a massive refugee problem with maybe millions that would try to, in the north, stream into China, which obviously China wants no parts of. Economics would be thrown into the wind as well. So I think it's an important, but it should be a fairly easy conversation for, you know, the U.S. ambassador in Beijing and, you know, Secretary Kerry to make these points. Basically, what the Chinese should already understand that, you know, the threatening behavior from North Korea, you know, it's in China's interest to see that that ends as well. And so I am quite confident that those conversations behind the scenes are taking place.
If something happened tomorrow and North Korea decided to lob a missile over at South Korea, what capabilities does South Korea have to defend itself if no one else was around to help?
Well, first of all, South Korea's got a very good military. You know, they have a female president who has shown herself to be quite resilient and tough on this issue. The other thing is, you know, there is, you know, a large American military presence in South Korea, and it's been there, you know, since the Korean War in the early 1950s. So we've got a treaty with South Korea. In the event of hostilities, I am sure there are, you know, enormous number of well-rehearsed contingency plans of various types of responses, both from the South Korean military and the U.S. military. I think that, you know, if there was a provocative act, there might be a response in kind. But in the event of a large-scale attack, then I think the North Koreans have got to assume that not only are they going to get a response from the South Koreans, again, a good military, but also, you know, they're bringing the U.S. into the equation. And I think we have probably 37,000 or something like that, you know, U.S. forces on the ground, you know, that have prepared and trained for decades, you know, for that kind of contingency. And, again, we hope it doesn't happen, but ultimately the response, of course, of the use of American military comes from the president, but I think we are instantly prepared to respond as soon as, you know, he would give the word.
If you were in the Oval Office right now and you had there's a president that was receptive to what you were saying and would take your advice, what advice would you give the president on how to deal with North Korea so that we could eliminate this threat and, you know, have more stable relations in that area?
Well, I think it's at least twofold. I think we talked about one of them, and that is I would, if I were the president, I would certainly go to the Chinese directly and say, look, this is intolerable, unacceptable, and, you know, we are really looking to you, the Chinese, to lean very heavily on the North Koreans. The second part of that is, you know, again, through our military posture, through public pronouncements, you know, I would convey that, you know, that we are no longer in any way accepting, you know, this kind of brazen behavior from the North Koreans. It is shocking to me that the North Koreans would not suffer some kind of, shall we say, response in what they've recently done, which is threatening to destroy the United States. I would make it very clear that this nation does not take well to any nation threatening to destroy it, and that we are more than capable of defending ourselves, and you know, it would be quite a mismatch, and the North Koreans should accept it. So I think a very clear, firm posture is appropriate. I would not in any way bargain or negotiate with them. You know, they are clearly trying to, I think in part, try to trigger negotiations where, you know, they would make outrageous demands, and to calm them down, as they've done in the past, we've, again, provided fuel oil and food, and I think that behavior just draws more bad behavior. So I would say there are no negotiations. Stop the threats. You know, take care of your people, and then we'll just think about talking. But until then, you know, you will get nothing but resistance from the United States of America. So, you know, so if you want to pursue that path, you know, go for it. But, you know, we're not playing that game.
Well, Jack, thank you for so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights on this. You're a wealth of knowledge, and you've proven time and time again to be a great friend of the show, and I appreciate you coming on, and you are welcome back anytime.
Well, Aaron, as always, thank you very much, and it's a great show, and it's a privilege to be on and share some thoughts with you and, of course, your listeners, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Jack Caravelli talking about North Korea. He is a wealth of knowledge, and again, like I said earlier, I don't even know how he sleeps at night. I mean, what he knows and must know that we don't. I mean, my goodness, it is. I'm sure it's mind-boggling. But you know, as we end the show here, you know, again, I just want to send my condolences out to everyone in Oklahoma, and those of you that are out there listening right now. You know, stay strong. We are the United States of America. We may have our differences, but when it comes to disasters, we pull together like no one else. And, you know, just don't let it get you down. I know it's easy to, but, you know, you guys out there have rebuilt, I guess, time and time again, and you're going to do it again, and you'll be stronger for it. And then also, we just need to, as a country, hold this administration accountable for some of the things that they're doing. It is just atrocious what they have been doing. It, you know, the IRS, the media, the businesses, you know, seeming that they're not present anywhere. You know, it's just we need to hold them accountable. My thanks to Jack Caravelli today for coming on the show. Again, our web address is aaronmccready.com. Follow me on Twitter, Aaron McCready. And I only have 16,000 followers. We can do much better than that. I send out tweets all the time. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. To me, the truth is the truth. And that's exactly what I'm going to say. Thanks for listening. Go back to our website, blogtalkradio.com/AaronMccready. You can listen to this episode again if you want to, or go on there and see when we're going to have another episode. We are going to be taking about a week and a half break, and then we're coming back with all new episodes. Stay tuned for that. All new guests, and it's going to be absolutely great. Thank you all, and you have a good night. Thanks.